you don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio.
Zarin!
You can't prove
get
that.
Get in here.
Hey, Elizabeth.
You get in here.
What's up, my girl? How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm pretty well. Feeling okay. Feeling
it's
groovy.
So good for you. I'm so happy for you. Do you know it's ridiculous?
I do!
Ooh!
Okay. So you know how I love giving people life tips and money advice.
Right? Unsolicited.
I'm just always going around. Well, no, in all honesty, I never really do that. But I find it like amusing how much media I consume where people are men telling other people how to live, and especially with money and stuff. And then I found this guy and I was like, this is exactly life advice I would have given a punk band on tour. But it wouldn't have worked for them because they would have been a punk band. But the idea would have been great otherwise.
Okay.
And if they would have done your thing and acted like they belonged, act like they've been there before, act like they know, it would have worked. Here's the life advice. Keep all that in mind.
Yes.
Ready? Dude's name is Jack Rains. I don't know why I'm giving him credit, because it's his word. So he does something called writing. He writes Young Money, the best finance blog you've never heard of.
Oh,
whatever.
Well,
anyway,
I really haven't.
So this is from LinkedIn. Somebody who I don't really know posted this, and I found it amusing. Anyway, here
they
we go.
Post things? Okay, go ahead.
There was a screenshot from LinkedIn. I'm not on LinkedIn.
I didn't even
believe it was social media. I'm like, come on.
That's
really?
What I'm saying.
I thought you post resumes.
I thought you
there.
Just put your resume up on there.
Apparently, people use it like Facebook.
Oh,
anyway,
God.
Here we go. Quote, for the last 2 months, I haven't paid for a single meal in New York City. How is that possible, you ask? It's simple. Free hotel meals. New York has 3,600 hotels, and many of those offer complimentary breakfast. By walking in and acting like you're supposed to be there, you can simply grab bacon, eggs, and toast at any Hilton or Marriott in the city. The real trick is securing free lunch or dinner. To do this, you dress up a bit nicer and head to the restaurant. Order whatever you'd like. Enjoy the occasion. When the waiter comes, he's going to ask, card, credit, or charge to a room. Say, charge to the room. Then write down a random room number and name and make sure you leave before the payment processes. With 3,600 hotels, you can do this for 10 years without double dipping. Follow me for more personal financial tips.
I don't think it
Hashtag
works that way.
Wealth hack.
I don't think it works that way
no,
anymore.
It doesn't
you don't
work
just
that
give
way.
A room number.
Well, no, you can do that. I was just traveling, and I did exactly that. I just put in a room number. They didn't ask me
they
for
didn't?
Any. Nope, it was just all on paper.
Huh.
I just did this in a Hilton. Like, he's totally right about that aspect.
Yeah.
But it's still the read. It's not going to work for most people.
Yeah.
Who would probably
certainly
want to benefit
a,
from
not
this
a punk
exactly?
Band.
No, definitely not a punk
it's
band.
It's just going
to
be all the chuds who read whatever the four people who read.
But
that
I did
guy's
used
blog.
To tell people who are on the road, go into nice hotels and eat a complimentary breakfast, grab some rolls for the road and go.
Well, that's smart.
Right?
I used to, in San Francisco, back in the days pre, Uber, Lyft, all
sure.
that, when we were all taking taxis, and on evenings, like Friday nights, you couldn't get a cab.
Oh, yeah.
I'd go into a hotel, come out, and act like I was staying there
smart.
And ask the guy
the
at the front, the bellhop or whatever, to hail me a cab.
Yeah.
And I always get one. Other people are all trying to flag them down on the street.
Totally. Mm-hmm. I guess it's more of a doorman than a bellhop.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the move.
That's a good one. I'm going to use that one.
Well, we don't take cabs anymore, I guess.
I do.
I do.
Yeah.
So yeah,
so
that's our
we
move.
Do. Isn't that ridiculous, though?
That is ridiculous. I like that a lot. Do you know what else I like and that is ridiculous?
No, Elizabeth. What else?
Gerald Ford getting paid.
Hey.
Ridiculous Crime, a podcast about absurd and outrageous capers, heists, and cons. It's always 99% murder-free and 100% ridiculous.
Oh, you damn right.
Zarin.
Yes, Elizabeth.
I'm about to take you on a wild ride.
Really?
A fever dream.
Yes, I love your fever dreams.
Researcher Andrea the Magnificent, mm-hmm. she described a lot of this as surreal.
Surreal.
And it is. It's so rich in 80s and 90s celebrities that you're going to poop yourself.
Should I get on my big boy like rubber underwear?
I'm going to read you a list of names that are conveniently in alphabetical order.
Okay.
Paula Abdul, mm-hmm. Roseanne Barr, mm-hmm. Milton Berle, mm-hmm. Red Buttons, mm-hmm. The Clintons, mm-hmm. Billy Crystal, mm-hmm. Celine Dion, uh-huh. Michael Douglas, uh-huh. Betty and Gerald Ford,
wow.
Michael J. Fox,
okay.
Zsa Zsa Gabor, uh-huh. Al Gore, Kelsey Grammer, George Hamilton, Goldie Hawn, Gladys Knight, Nelson Mandela, Gregory Peck, Rob Reiner, Denise Rich, Ray Romano, Diana Ross, Arnold Schwarzenegger, David Schwimmer, Britney Spears, Rod Stewart, John Travolta, Tina Turner, and Mark Wahlberg.
Why are you listing all of my exes?
They have one thing in common.
I just told you what it was.
Herpes. Oh. No, that was a joke. They were all somehow connected to the scandals generated by one Aaron Tonkin.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I want to tell you about Aaron Gulf of Tonkin.
He's an industry.
Oh, God. Have you ever heard of Aaron Tonkin?
I've heard the name, but I've never looked into him.
He was born in 1965 in Windsor, Ontario, Canada. He grew up in Michigan, just about, 250 miles or so from
Detroit.
Just
over the border, yeah.
He was obsessed with celebrities at an early age. Mm-hmm. When he was only 12 years old, he started cold calling Jacqueline Onassis and other celebrities, like would get the number and be like, hi, it's Aaron. Can you have a moment? Love that. He was desperate.
Do you think they ever had good conversations?
Like, I don't think he had any conversation. I don't think he made it past. Yeah. No, he didn't make it through the screening. He wanted so badly to have Dean Martin perform at his bar mitzvah.
Oh, same. I don't even have a bar mitzvah and I want that.
Same. And that's what he wanted, but he couldn't make it happen. 1987, his dad dies of cancer. His dad was a doctor. And he had a really difficult relationship with his mom. And so he decided to just split and leave. He went to live with his aunt and uncle in Detroit.
He's in the teens?
Yeah. Okay. This is what his aunt said, Michelle Sills. Quote, he drove to our house straight through without a nickel in his pocket. He had to bust through the toll gates because he had no money.
Bust through the toll gates?
I love the theatrics of that quote. Like, no, come on. He's like,
just splintering wood like it's a film montage.
Totally. So he's like crashing at all these various relatives' houses. He didn't really get a job or anything.
Of course, yes. And he got fools like this taking care of him.
He'd lie and he'd say he was going to work, but he was just going to restaurant openings and press conferences because he thought that celebrities would be there
in
Detroit.
And well, they do have the auto industry, so there might have been, occasionally
a young Leia Coca.
Well, yeah.
And so he's hoping he can, rub shoulders with him. Uh-huh. And then he would come home and be like, I sold 2,000 pairs of socks today. And they're like, that's amazing. You set a record. He's like, I totally did. So he wants to rub shoulders. And by that, I mean hobnob, not massage.
Yes, of course.
He wanted more, though.
What's and more, so Elizabeth?
Arizona. He went to live with one of his grandmas in Arizona.
Nice.
And it makes it sound like he has a stable of old ladies on retainer, one of his grandmas.
He's going through a platoon of old ladies.
Yeah, but so there he is in Scottsdale.
Okay.
And it was there that he met John Murphy.
Uh-huh.
John Murphy drove a 1986 Corvette. And he owned a silk pants company.
Oh, so he's like a snowbird just cruising around Arizona, picking up on old birds?
He has my new fake job when introducing myself, a purveyor of fine silk pants.
I thought it was serious. He's a purveyor of fine silk pants,
correct?
Oh, yeah,
correct? No.
You're not even, that's
I'm 100%
euphemism?
Dead to right serious that he had an 86 Corvette and he owned a silk pants company.
I love it.
Zarin, I'm telling you the truth here. So Murphy was like, I like the cut of your jib. I'm going to offer you a job. You can be a salesman. Tonkin's like, let's do this. This is what Murphy said, quote, he was the best phone guy I'd ever seen. Just incredibly persistent. I've sat in his office in LA and he's the fastest dialer I've ever seen. Just incredible. He just won't take no for an answer.
Beep, boop, beep, boop, boop. Look at those fingers fly.
Finger, lightning speed.
Now he's on call too. Beep, boop, boop, look at that.
That's what makes you the best phone guy. He's like, I can dial a number so fast, you guys.
And then when I get to the hang up call, on to the next.
So quick.
Dude.
So in 1990, Murphy sells the pants company. But don't worry. I don't want you to worry about
Aaron
Tonkin.
Is that when you got into business as a pants purveyor?
Yeah, I bought it from him. Tongan, don't worry about him. He's cozying up to Gilbert Ortega, a.k.a. the king of Indian jewelry.
Are you kidding me?
So he
like Topaz, you're talking
he owns Gilbert Ortega Galleries, which is the largest retailer of Native American arts and crafts in the world.
Oh, man.
We're talking turquoise bolo ties for days. Tongan. So he gets a sales job from Ortega. Uh-huh. Remember, he's got like fingers of lightning.
Totally.
And then he even moved into Ortega's house.
Whoa.
Why not?
Sure.
This is what Ortega's first wife, Linda Ortega, said. Quote, oh, well, you know, when Aaron moved into Gilbert's house, the way Aaron got to Gilbert was he said his mother wanted him to learn business before he could collect his trust money. He said he thought Gilbert was the perfect person to learn from. It appealed to Gilbert's ego, you know. You're so great. I need to learn from you. It was the same when he met me. You're such a great mother. I wish I had a mother like you. You kind of knew he was faking, but somehow he had this quality. You felt sorry for him.
Oh, he played that flip.
So pretty soon, the Ortegas,
they catch on.
They're over him.
Okay.
Yeah, they've had enough. This is what Gilbert said. Quote, he's very, 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 very aggressive. If that boy learned to use his talents in the right way, he'd be a billionaire. But man, he'll eat you up and spit you out.
That's a salesman talking.
Very, very. So talking, he eventually moved out, but he owed them money.
Of course.
And his next gig he got as a marketing manager for Scottsdale Limousines. And that's kind of like a good way to get celebrity adjacent or prom adjacent.
Oh, I guess like Major League Baseball spring training.
So.
Like you can meet Mike Schmidt that way.
It's a very prom forward gig.
It's very
and
prom
then like
focused.
Minor League Baseball or Major League
spring training. You got a couple
adjacent.
Weeks. Like Cubs are in Mesa.
This is what the owner Eddie McCoy had to say. Quote, he was just a kid I hired after he worked for Gilbert. He did very well in sales, brought in several accounts. I was always leery of him, though. He always wanted me to get into things. One time, I remember he asked me if I wanted to have breakfast with Grant Woods, the state attorney general. I said, why? Why would I want to do that? In his heart of hearts, you could see Aaron was doing it because he thought somehow it could help me. He was obsessed with celebrities, anyone who was famous or important or powerful. It's just collecting them as he
Interesting.
Can.
Interesting.
So one day, 1992... Tongan, he shows up for work in a station wagon that he said he bought for $300.
Okay.
Crammed full of his stuff. And McCoy, the owner, said, quote, the day he left Arizona, he came by here and he said, I'm going to L.A. to seek my fortune. It was the bravest thing I've ever seen a young man do. I mean, someone who was so troubled. It seemed to me that he had just run out of things to do. He needed to find his way. So he said, I'm going to California. I may be an actor. I don't know, but I'm going to be a success. Then he drove off in that old station wagon.
And that's the bravest thing that this man saw another young man do. Is drive west to Los Angeles.
So he gets a call. McCoy gets a call a few days later from the guy that sold the station wagon to Tonkin, looking for payment.
In air quotes.
Yeah, because he's looking for who's going to pay me for the station wagon. He said to call you.
he said you bought it.
So why did he decide that it was time to head to Hollywood? I mean, it's a natural thing for someone who's celebrity obsessed.
Oh, I don't know.
But the impetus for him was that he had cozied up to Angelica Houston's stepmother. Angelica Houston's stepmother. Okay. I guess she lives in Arizona.
So John Houston's wife, the father.
I don't know. Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, at some point. So he did a brief stint as her assistant, but it didn't work out. But when he was assistant to Angelica Houston's stepmother, he rubbed shoulders.
Okay.
And he met the holy grail of aging Hollywood madness.
Who?
Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Oh my God, I almost guessed that earlier. Yes.
Zsa Zsa needed an assistant.
Would you believe me if I would have said, when you asked me why did he go to LA, I was like, Zsa Zsa was pulling him west.
There it was. See, you could feel it.
Dude,
it was in there.
I'm like Lady the Wonder Horse over here. Read your mind.
So Zsa Zsa needs an assistant. Uh-huh. Tonkin needs a job. He also needs a place to live.
Natural fit.
Faster than you can say Kato Kaelin. He moved into the guest house in Zsa Zsa Gabor's backyard.
He's like, have you seen these fingers?
Oh, yeah. Now he'd made it.
Uh-huh.
So he's getting chummy with the likes of Red Buttons and Milton Berle.
Yes.
So assisting Zsa Zsa was
My
great.
My smile's already starting to hurt.
I know. Assisting Zsa Zsa is great.
Okay.
It's great work.
Uh-huh.
But Tonkin's expenses exceeded his income.
Naturally. And that's that's a risk.
So when Zsa Zsa would go out of town, which is, you know, pretty often.
Oh, yeah.
Tonkin started going outside and waving down those tour buses that drive by with, like, the tours of the stars, homes of the stars.
Hot little maps in their hands.
Yeah, the star maps. So, and then he'd be like, wait, look, this is Zsa-Zsa Gabor's house. I'll give you a tour. And he would charge the people on the bus to get out and walk through Zsa-Zsa Gabor's house.
And you know he's not watching them, so they're just pocketing
stuff.
Totally.
So Zsa-Zsa finds out, because Zsa-Zsa sees all.
Of course.
Darren.
Yes, she senses it before it happens.
And he gets fired. But that also meant that he lost his place to live. Ooh. So a reporter.
Why would he do that?
You know, he needs some cash.
It's the dumbest way to make money.
A reporter for the tabloid paper, The Star.
Like, all of her neighbors would point that out to her. I'm sorry. I didn't get focused on that. The bus stopped Zsa-Zsa in front of your house.
And he's not
everyone got off.
Only employee at Zsa-Zsa's house,
yes,
I would imagine.
The maids, yes, of course. Yeah. The gardener's like, are you kidding me,
yeah,
man?
This is
look
not
at, they're all
right
over my lawn.
So this reporter from the tabloid paper, The Star.
Sure.
Heard about what happened between Zsa-Zsa Gabor and Duncan. and as an agent of chaos, yes, after my own heart, the reporter reaches out to Peter Paul, former manager of Fabio.
Oh, wow.
And says, you've got to hire this guy, Aaron Tonkin. He needs a gig. He's an assistant. Like, how chaotic is that?
Totally.
So good. So who is Peter Paul, Hold the Mary?
Why does that name sound familiar?
It's going to start ringing a lot of bells. In the 70s, he was an attorney in Miami, and he represented Central and South American clients.
Uh-huh.
In 79, he got convicted of participating in a scheme to defraud the Cuban government.
That's a smart move.
And then, can I get a side order of cocaine possession?
Oh, there you go.
So he did his time.
Was he also in Iran-Contra somehow as a periphery figure?
He does his time. He moves to L.A. Uh-huh. What did he do in L.A.? Well, he did what any of us who just got out of prison and needed a new start would do. He started charity foundations,
there you go,
including one for Jimmy Stewart. And so from there, it was like an easy and natural jump to celebrity management.
Of course.
So his clients, the aforementioned Fabio, Muhammad Ali.
Oh, my God.
He was Muhammad Ali's manager for a while. So Paul, he listened.
You go from Don King to that. You're like, come on, this is not getting better.
This is not going well. Paul listened to that tabloid reporter, hired Aaron Tonkin.
Why not?
Tonkin got a desk in the Paul offices at Wilshire Boulevard. Oh, assignment one,
yes,
arrange for celebrities to make an appearance at a wedding in New Mexico. Tonkin's
multiple celebrities at the same wedding.
Yeah. Tonkin's like, hello, Pacific or Southwest. I'm on it.
Yeah, this is my region. I've got friends.
He locked in Charlton Heston to give a Bible reading. He got members of KISS to provide the music. Like, what is this? What is this? Okay, so now he's cooking with gas.
Totally.
Like, he has put this together. Paul has connections. Tonkin latches onto all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't just his employer who got him the ins. He said he found a Rolodex in the trash and that the Rolodex had belonged to Danny DeVito.
He found Danny DeVito's Rolodex.
And he said that he copied all the cards and then he contacted Big Danny to give it back. And apparently DeVito was super grateful, like, if it happened that way.
This is a plot from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I swear God. Like, yeah. I found Danny DeVito's Rolodex in the trash. I called him up. He wanted to beat.
Yeah. Now we're friends. Sandra Taylor, Fabio's ex-girlfriend, said, quote, he started throwing these smart little dinner parties at the Beverly Hills restaurant Tattoo. The mix of people was just amazing. Joe Maloof from the Sacramento Kings, Jermaine Jackson, Milton Berle. He definitely had his regulars.
The Maloof, the owner of the Kings. Not like a player.
The owner.
The owner.
Can we talk a little about Tattoo of Beverly Hills?
Oh, God.
In the 90s,
oh, God.
It was the spot.
Yeah.
Big Mickey Rourke hangout.
Big
Probably Mickey Christopher Rokencore as well. What a time to be alive. So anyway, not a lot of information available about the supper club / restaurant nightclub. But anyway, look up Getty images for it. It's amazing.
Yes.
So in the fall of 93, Tonkin and Paul, they organized a joint book party / charity fundraiser for Ivana Trump and Fabio.
Of course.
Which, okay.
Yeah, why not?
Sure, sign me up. Gavin Maloof, he sent a $7,500 check to Tonkin for the Muscular Dystrophy Association. The charity never saw a dime.
No, of course not.
And Tonkin kept the check. The official
was
with
the check to him?
The official with the association claimed that when she requested the check from Tonkin, he told her, "F*** off."
Would you love to say that to a charity?
Oh my God.
When they call you, go, where's the check? Oh my God.
Okay, so debt started stacking up for Tonkin.
I'm figuring that.
Printers, travel agencies, photographers, actors, charities, like everything.
Okay.
He had over 24 separate actions were filed against him in LA Superior Court.
24?
Yeah, and most of them were just like, you know, he took money for no services rendered.
He owes me $8,000 for the car rental.
Yeah. May of 1994, a Russian immigrant, Alex Konnikov, he said he paid Tonkin $20,000 to help him get into the movie business, which is so weird. Konnikov, though, he never even made it onto a movie set. And like for years, he tried to get his money back. No dice. His lawyer said, quote, 10 years later, I'm done chasing that guy. Like they kept trying.
10 years for $20,000.
$20,000. West Hollywood attorney Nathan Galler, he had opinions. His girlfriend, Irina Maliva, paid Tonkin $4,500 to help her break into the movies.
So he's just milking naive Russians.
Totally. And all she got out of it was an invitation or two to like a couple Hollywood parties.
There's your intro.
Yeah. So her attorney boyfriend goes after him.
Oh.
Gave up trying to collect, though, because it wasn't happening. 1995, Tonkin threw his own 30th birthday party at Tattoo.
All this before 30.
Yeah. It was a who's who of young, hot Hollywood.
Okay.
Leonard Nimoy, Milton Berle, Casey Kasem, Alan Thicke, Bob Barker, cast members from the soap opera The Young and the Restless, and then friends and family from Arizona. Who was the host for the evening's entertainment?
Bob Eubanks.
Red Buttons. Red Buttons' son, Adam Buttons, which, like, I don't know. That I just read that over and over again just for my
Adam
own.
Buttons.
Adam Buttons.
Adam Buttons.
Yes, he worked for Tonkin as a messenger. He said, quote, Aaron was out of his mind. Every time I went to his office, Aaron was screaming at the top of his lungs at someone. He had a nervous breakdown every 5 minutes. Tonkin's uncle Sills goes to the party at Tattoo, says, quote, we couldn't believe it. I mean, here's a kid. He had nothing, could go nowhere, had obvious mental problems. And suddenly he's in Hollywood meeting hundreds of these movie stars. What a country. Like, what a country indeed.
We used to be a country, Elizabeth.
Yeah, we did. Let's take a break. Okay. When we come back, we'll find out whether au courant stars were in Aaron Tonkin's orbit. Springtime is all about fresh air and fresh starts, and it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at SimpliSafe Home Security. It's the only home security system I use and recommend. Here's why I love it. With the days getting longer and the weather warming up, we're out and about a lot more, and that applies to criminals too. I don't have to worry because SimpliSafe blankets my whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. And there are indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over my property day and night. It's not just cameras. SimpliSafe has professional monitoring agents who keep watch on your home when you aren't there. Agents can stop crime in real time by speaking to intruders through the wireless indoor camera, warning them that they're being recorded and the police are on their way. Sounds great, right? There's no contract, and they offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. So trying SimpliSafe is risk-free. Get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplisafe.com/ridiculouscrime. That's simplisafe.com/ridiculouscrime. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco-Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Welcome.
Hey,
welcome back to Hollywood Cavalcade we're having here today.
Oh, man. The stars are out tonight, Elizabeth.
They really are. They really are. So here we have Aaron Tonkin and his messenger boy, Adam Buttons. So we have Aaron Tonkin throwing charity benefits with very cloudy accounting practices.
Yes.
A good friend of Aaron Tonkin's was actor Jonathan Silverman.
Oh, wow.
Who grew up with David Schwimmer.
Oh, jeez.
So it was through that connection that Tonkin, he gets tapped to organize the 1997 Friends Helping Friends Gala.
Get out.
That's centered on the Friends cast.
Of course.
It sounds absolutely nuts.
I bet it does.
Tony Alverdi, a longtime event security guy of Tonkin's, he said, quote, "People don't realize how he did those events. Like, he'll meet a guy named Roger who knows someone who knows one of the guys in NSYNC. So Aaron tells everyone he has NSYNC, and people come because of that. It worked every time. So, of course, he can't get NSYNC. So he says, oh, they had to back out, but I've got Wayne Newton. I got Natalie Cole." I love his, like, switcheroos.
So he uses one name to get others to sign on.
And
then the big name never shows up. He's like, who wants to hear Wayne Newton?
Totally. Zarin. Close your eyes.
Oh, my God. He's stuck it up for me. Yes. Okay. My eyes are closed.
I want you to picture it. It's 1997, and you are Randolph Duke, the designer for Halston. You were hired the year prior to revive the brand, and you are exceeding expectations. You are creating minimalist, clean designs in the iconic Halston style of relaxed urban discotheque chic.
Mm.
You're fabulous, from your 5 o'clock shadow to your buttery driving loafers. Some months ago, you were introduced to a man, a small, sloppy man. You met him through a friend of a friend, and in a whirl of Hollywood, we should do lunches, and I have the perfect project for you. Somehow, you agreed to dress the cast of Friends for some charity thing coming up. Jennifer Aniston, Phoebe, the dark-haired one, wearing Halston? Be great for the brand and for you.
Of course.
This Halston gig is great, but you have your eyes on your own collection. In the meantime, you're gathering contacts everywhere you go, amassing celebrity clientele that will hopefully one day wear a Randolph Duke gown on the red carpet. And they will. But first, Friends with a hard R. So there you are backstage. You've arrived early, and the place is buzzing with excitement. You and your assistants are directed to a dressing room where you set up glamorous looks for the evening. Strong reds, sequins, blush organza, spaghetti straps for days. As your assistants get things rolling, you cruise around and schmooze. You're sipping champagne and complimenting Tony Bennett on his velvet jacket when one of your assistants tries to get your attention. You brush her off and you keep working the room. You look over and you see Jennifer Aniston. She's emerging from a dressing room and she looks stunning. But not Halston stunning. Calvin Klein stunning.
Mm.
That's a Calvin Klein gown she's wearing. Not one of your creations. Soon, the dark-haired one on Friends walks by. She's in a lovely dress, but it's not one of yours.
What the?
And she's fully made up and ready to go. You scan the room for the man who promised you the Friends ladies and you spot him, Aaron Tonkin. You push by people and rush to his side. "Why aren't they wearing my gowns?" you hiss at him. "What? Them? No, baby, I've got someone even better." He holds your chin and turns your face toward a dressing room. The door opens. Out walks a beautiful woman in one of your tasteful gowns. She's wearing those pink tinted sunglasses and her honeyed highlighted hair is huge. "Who the f*** is that?" you ask Tonkin. "It's the host of MTV's House of Style." "That's not Cindy Crawford." "No, that's Daisy Fuentes. Much better than Jennifer Aniston. In, say, 27 years, no one will remember who Jennifer Aniston is, but Daisy Fuentes, MTV's first Latina VJ, host of MTV Spring Break, she'll be a household name forever." You stare daggers at Tonkin while the bustling backstage chugs along around you. You walk toward the dressing room. Mr. Duke, such a pleasure to meet you, says Daisy Fuentes. This gown, it's extraordinary. When Aaron told me you selected me to wear it, I was truly honored. You smile and shake her hand and then stride into the dressing room. Wrap up the dresses. We're leaving. You turn to Miss Fuentes. Have your people drop the dress off tomorrow at my studio. You turn and head for the exit. An assistant trailing behind you slips a business card to Daisy Fuentes. The address of the studio is on there, she tells her.
Damn.
Now.
And tell Dan Cortez not to call me anymore.
Not Eric Nice. Now, Vanity Fair sponsored the event.
Yes.
Vanity Fair's executive director of creative services at the time was a woman, Jean Carlson. She said, quote, I don't think we knew what we were getting into. The event was kind of messy. Everyone's screaming at me. At the end, they ran out of gift bags, and it went on so long. By the time Tony Bennett got up to sing, most of the people had left. It was not the work of a pro.
Oh, man. So, poor Tony Bennett.
Let's check in with Adam Buttons. What does Adam Buttons have to say?
Yeah, my man, Adam Buttons.
He said, quote, I will go on record saying I did deliver cash to a number of celebrities on Friends Helping Friends. I don't know how much was in those envelopes. I didn't ask. I will say I didn't like the way he did business. That's why I stopped working for him. Say more, Adam Buttons. And like, sorry.
Make Red proud.
Buttons wouldn't name names.
Yeah,
however,
not.
An anonymous source said that some of the receivers of his cash included Paul Anka.
Not the Paul Anka.
It's just all the hot stars of the 90s. Lance Bass of NSYNC, Cher, and Natalie Cole.
It's an interesting mix of the hot stars of the 90s and the 50s.
The 50s. Well, I miss mostly the 50s. By 1998, almost a dozen charities were suing him in an attempt to get the money back from all these events that just he would get paid for that never even took place. Not even the big, like, messes.
Probably the ones he's just faking.
Yeah.
What do you think in your quiet moments? You're lying there in bed. You've got 24 charities trying to sue you. And you're like,
he doesn't care.
I've made some mistakes.
No, just. Got to keep moving. Shark in the water. He filed for Chapter 7 personal bankruptcy.
Yeah, it's reorg.
You got a BK when you hit that. And but later, the whole thing got dismissed because he didn't show up to the meeting of creditors.
How does that work?
I don't know. And it was during this time that Tonkin met Cynthia and Hal Gershman.
Okay.
They're an older couple who happen to be multimillionaires.
The Gershman Agency?
No, they had shopping centers.
That's the Gersh Agency.
Yeah, they had shopping centers.
Okay.
And they also happen to live in Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm.
And they also happen to throw amazing parties at their house.
Oh, very nice.
So, of course, Tonkin cozies up. They check all the boxes. So, according to a family advisor, which, like, P.S., you know you're wealthy when you have a family advisor. When Hal was on his deathbed, he urged Cynthia to let Tonkin look after her.
Okay.
And a friend said later that when Hal died, something changed in Cynthia. Quote, Cindy decided she had been held down. It was a chance to have some fun. I want to have a good time and be socially prominent and be an actress. She started taking acting classes.
Oh, no.
She was convinced she was going to be a movie star.
Oh, Lord.
Aaron's genius was that he listened to what people wanted and he gave it to them. Aaron was suddenly saying, I can do this. I can do that.
Of course.
Yeah.
Like that's the classic con. It's like, hey, what are you feeling, not confident about what you would love to feel confident
exactly.
about?
So Cynthia Gershman,
uh-huh.
she starts paying Tonkin
sure.
in 1998. One of the loans was almost $2 million.
What?
Yeah. And in return, he tells her, we're going to make you a movie star. You're going to be known as Cynthia Palmer.
$2 million, you can make the movie.
And there's no spring chicken.
Whatever. Buddy.
I mean, but yeah, $2 million, you could make the movie. Well, she did. She got her Screen Actors Guild card.
Okay.
And she had roles in like a couple minor films, including the Burt Reynolds 2000 film, The Last Producer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's in that.
Oh, geez.
So we're talking like...
Late Burt Reynolds.
Big stuff. Her stepson, Cynthia's stepson, Ronald, he worried about how all this was going to affect the financial situation of the family foundation.
So his inheritance.
Yeah. So he starts reorganizing
okay.
and he splits it off. He's like, okay, here's the family stuff. And then here's yours,
here's
Cynthia.
Your play money, Mom.
You just go nuts. Exactly. Yeah. And so with control over her part of the dough, then she just ramps up these charity donations.
Mm-hmm.
But many of them were selected by Tonkin, not... her. And then she also underwrote his benefits. And that was like, he did galas honoring Gladys Knight and Milton Berle.
And the
he
Pips.
He shows
though,
up
right?
all the time. Oh, yeah. Total plus the Pips.
Gladys Knight and the Pips.
And she underwrites them.
Of course.
So pretty soon, Like Tonkin, he could get some of the biggest names in show business and politics for charities and political fundraising.
Yeah, for Milton Berle, you can get people to come out.
Natalie Cole introduced him to Denise Rich, ex-wife of fugitive financier Mark Rich.
Yes, the Clinton guy, right?
Yeah,
the...
Mark Rich, international commodities trader and businessman. In 83, he gets indicted on federal charges of tax evasion, wire fraud, racketeering. And, you know, the little matter of making oil deals with Iran during the Iran hostage crisis.
I didn't read all the fine print.
Yeah. So he's looking down the barrel of like 300 years in prison.
Oh, yeah.
No exaggeration. Uh-huh. And he fled to Switzerland, never came back to the States. He left behind his Democratic mega donor wife, Denise Rich.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it only makes sense then that around 1999, 2000. So if Tonkin gets introduced to Denise Rich, Denise continues the celebrity chain by introducing Tonkin to then-President Bill Clinton. Keep in mind that on Bill Clinton's last day in office, January 20th, 2001, he pardoned Mark Rich.
Yeah, it's a very famous pardon.
Yeah, exactly, like down to the wire. So anyway, Clinton's wife, Hillary, I don't know if you've heard of her.
Hillary.
She was gearing up to run for U.S. Senate.
Huh.
Yeah. And
how did her future go?
Tonkin tells Bill, I got an idea.
Okay.
Let's have a bunch of Hollywood galas to benefit Hillary's senatorial campaign.
Mm.
And Gershman.
In New York.
Yeah, the New York campaign, but we'll do this in Hollywood. Yeah. Gershman said that she would underwrite some of the expenses, but Tonkin wanted more money.
Mm-hmm.
So he reached out to his old friend and employer, Peter Paul. Remember Peter Paul, Miami Coke lawyer. In 2000, this is where we're into total fever dream territory.
I just always keep picturing Jake Paul's father. I know he's not, but I'm like, that feels like it's Paul's
sure,
dad. So I'm like,
say,
yeah, Peter Paul, go
sure,
on.
Peter Paul Mary. Mm-hmm. In 2000, Paul started a multimedia company built around Stan Lee.
The Marvel Comics guy.
Yes, that's Stan Lee.
Wow.
Creator of Marvel Comics. Paul was working with Lee on the internet-based superhero creation, production, and marketing studio, Stan Lee Media.
Okay.
And so the venture was only around for like 2 years. It was the victim of the first dot-com meltdown. So it starts in 98, but 2000, the things are looking both great and ominous for tech. And so Tonkin and Paul, they hoped that working with the Clintons would increase Stan Lee's profile and that they could get Clinton to join the board. Like, what is happening right now? What even is this? Tonkin, so he's like, all right. The story he tells is that the gala got set into motion after he allegedly shared a limo ride with Clinton one summer evening in June.
Mm.
You know who else was in the limo?
I don't know. Red buttons.
Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan. Yes. I could never guess. I just knew I would never guess it.
There's something about me that not a lot of people know is that
every night
I have, in my dreams, there's almost always a celebrity cameo.
Yes.
And it's usually like a D,
You've told
E,
me your
F
dreams.
List.
It's always, yeah, C,
and
D.
And this feels like one long dream that
yeah.
I'm in. So Chaka Khan's in the limo with Aaron Tonkin and Bill Clinton.
Okay. And you are obviously
on a summer evening.
Uh-huh.
And Tonkin is like, because Tonkin's going with like to escort Chaka Khan to an event. And Tonkin has this conversation with Bill, and it ends up with Bill Clinton telling Aaron Tonkin to go forward with all the gala plans. Let's do it. Let's have a gala.
Full steam ahead.
Peter Paul and Tonkin, that's like an also-ran full trio, they worked with Hillary Clinton's people to prepare the August 12th. It's called, quote, the Hollywood Gala Salute to President William Jefferson Clinton.
Oh, Lord.
It's a fundraiser at the Brentwood Estate of businessman Ken Roberts.
Huh.
So it was hosted by Stan Lee, Peter Paul, and impending recall target California Governor Gray Davis.
Wow.
There were tributes to the Clintons from Michael Douglas, Goldie Hawn, Jack Lemmon, John Travolta, Gregory Peck, and many more.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Gregory Hines.
No.
But no, this is fun. Go on.
And then Stevie Wonder, Cher, Melissa Etheridge, Natalie Cole, Diana Ross, Paul Anka popping his head up again, Toni Braxton, Patti LaBelle, Brian McKnight, and Sugar Ray performed.
Oh,
can you believe
wow.
they got Sugar Ray?
I cannot believe he was able to get his people on the line.
Can you believe also that Tonkin booked someone born after Hawaii became a state?
No.
It's amazing to me. So that wasn't the only Clinton honor that Tonkin had up his sleeve.
Oh, he's got more.
Yeah, he also put together an event called A Family Celebration 2001 on April 1st, 2001 at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel.
Okay.
So Brian Burrow wrote...
This is like right when the Clintons are out of office, and he's just trying to basically take his victory lap. He's like, he's raising money for his library.
Yeah, she's just putting her
and
hooks
she's
in
using
it.
That as a time to basically also get donations for her senatorial campaign. So they need to be in the public.
Yeah.
So they'll take anything.
Yeah.
Okay,
and
cool.
They loved Hollywood.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get why he's so keen to have all these... Okay.
Yeah, so this is what... it was in Vanity Fair. Brian Burrow wrote a piece, quote, "The stars poured in. Sylvester Stallone was there in a tuxedo, chatting with his fellow honorees, Betty and Gerald Ford. The evening's co-chairman, Michelle Pfeiffer, and her husband, Ally McBeal producer David E. Kelly, sat at Clinton's table with members of the McBeal cast nearby. MTV's Carson Daly emceed, and Elizabeth Taylor and Whoopi Goldberg made presentations, thanking Clinton for his years in office. And then came the music. Songs from Dwight Yoakam and Ray Charles. Toward the evening's end, Clinton put on a pair of Ray-Bans, grabbed a saxophone, and jammed for an uproarious 5 minutes with B.B. King, who then performed a bluesy Let the Good Times Roll. The evening ended precisely at 10:50 with an energetic set by NSYNC.
Cyndi Lauper. Oh,
NSYNC.
I was close.
So the main beneficiaries were supposed to be charities selected by... Kelly and the cast of Ally McBeal.
Okay.
And for the uninitiated, Ally McBeal was a Mark E. Kelly joint about a lawyer played by Calista Flockhart.
Yes.
So he gave us Calista Flockhart, which means he probably set in motion her later romance with and marriage to Harrison Ford.
Totally.
Which I feel like gave us Harrison Ford's dope earring.
And it did, definitely. And also the people who, like, when he went and saved their lives, like with his plane, or like the golfers he scared in Santa Monica when he crashed
his
plane.
That's all because of David E. Kelly.
All of that's because of this.
Yeah.
So, traces right back.
Tonkin promised Kelly and his charities 100% of whatever money was raised.
Uh-huh.
But then Tonkin also struck a deal with NSYNC's agents. In exchange for their performance, Tonkin agreed that charities selected by the band would get 50% of the money raised. So 150% of the gate is now spoken for.
Mm-hmm.
One of Kelly's producers found out about this a day before the event. And like Tonkin smooths it out, says, you know what? Cynthia Gershman's going to cover any funding gaps. So to bankroll the dinner, Tonkin got $40,000 from Gershman, $75,000 from L.A. businessman Robert Lorsch, and another $150,000 from a foundation controlled by Loreen Arbus, daughter of one-time ABC television president Leonard Goldenson. The California Attorney General would later allege that much of the money was diverted by Tonkin to pay for expenses unrelated to the event. President Ford got his beak wet on it.
Wait, what?
His agents at William Morris demanded $400,000 for his appearance at the gala.
What?
$200,000 to be donated to the Betty Ford Center, plus another $200,000 for President Ford himself.
Just,
this is a shakedown.
Damn.
Most people involved with the gala did not know that Ford was being paid to be honored there.
Yes, usually you don't get paid.
No. And then according to Sandra Furton Gabriel, a Washington event planner that Tonkin hired to supervise the evening, when told like Ford got paid, quote, "He was? President Ford? Oh, that explains so much. I mean, why he went to that party the night before and the breakfast. Oh, that stuns me. That's so gauche."
One
of my favorite insulting descriptors, gauche. I love her. So a spokesman for the Fords confirms, he got paid, but said that Tonkin only gave $150,000 to the Betty Ford Clinic, not $200,000.
Come on,
let's get this
your numbers right, people.
So Peter Paul said he wrote hundreds of checks to Tonkin, like $2 million worth.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that they were to cover things like table linens and limos. And then the payments were later in the center of like Paul's allegations about the Clintons' fundraising missteps. But we'll get to that. So coming on the eve of the Democratic National Convention, the event gets all this press coverage, and Bill and Hillary, they thanked Paul and Tonkin in person. Clinton described Mr. Tonkin in a videotape message as, quote, "my good friend," and in handwritten notes. Several days later, though, the Washington Post, they put out a story spilling it about Peter Paul's earlier cocaine and fraud convictions. The Clintons immediately distanced themselves. They returned the $2,000 in cash that Peter Paul had given Hillary's campaign. Paul's attorneys said that Paul asked Tonkin to approach the president about securing a pardon for his past crimes, but Tonkin, whether he did or not, isn't known.
Yeah.
Federal prosecutors later said that Paul participated in a scheme to manipulate Stan Lee Media's stock price. He fled. Peter Paul fled to Brazil in December of 2000, 4 months after the benefit. Federal investigators closing in. Uh-huh. And it was during this time that Tonkin met one of Paul's oldest friends, a man named Stanley Myatt. Let's take a break.
Oh.
When we come back, we'll learn about this Stanley Myatt.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you? Listen, before I went to DJ that set of amazing ads, like all the hits, I only play the hits.
Dude, you mix nice on the ones and twos.
I know, I do. I was telling you about how Peter Paul Holdemary had taken off for Brazil to avoid federal charges over manipulating the stock price of Stanley Media.
Yes.
Fever dream, I told you. And Aaron Tonkin, our focus today, he had cozied up to a friend of Peter Paul's, a guy named Stanley Myatt.
Yes, don't know that name.
Myatt was known as Mr. Covert Operations. Because he was an alleged CIA assassin.
Wow.
He was in with the Italian and Russian mobs.
Whoa.
He was a Wall Street scam artist.
Everywhere he is.
He was a loan shark.
Jeez.
FBI and DEA informant.
Was he also a race car driver?
He was a Zarin fever dream, is what I'm trying to say. So the Philadelphia mob boss, Ralph Natale, he said, quote, Myatt was an insurance scam man. He was a Wall Street scam man. He bootlegged cigarettes years ago, made a huge fortune. He got into the marijuana business and went away for a couple years. He came back and he went down to live in Florida, and he made a big connection with Russian mob that came up through Florida. And him, himself, he came to see me at the Garden State racetrack a couple times, wanted to make a connection with us, the Philadelphia mob, with the Russian mob.
Hmm.
So...
And they have to do that at a racetrack.
At a racetrack.
Okay. I mean, yeah, it's, you know, legit. That's to know that those meetings, you never know where they're going to take place.
True. And according to Peter Paul, Myatt invested in dozens of companies, a lot of them were public, at the request of FBI handlers because the feds wanted to peek under the hood. And then Myatt got him in there. And according to Paul, the FBI looked the other way while Myatt, quote, looted the companies. And how does Paul know this? He said, because he also worked for the FBI in the early 80s.
And I also looted companies.
It was
companies.
The early 80s. We were all working for the FBI.
It was a different time.
Yeah. He said that Myatt was his supervisor and that they worked together off and on ever since.
Okay.
And in fact, he said the two of them investigated mafia influence in Hollywood during the 90s.
Hmm.
And by investigated, I think he means participated in. That's my guess. So when being interviewed about working with Tonkin, Myatt said, quote, I don't believe I did anything sinister. I guess you'll get some things right and some things wrong. It just doesn't make any sense for me to answer any questions.
It really doesn't.
It really doesn't make any sense. Myatt had a Philadelphia-based hip-hop music company.
I'm going to need you to say that again.
A Philadelphia-based hip-hop music company called Antra Records, best known for marketing the rapper Corrupt.
Oh, wow. Oh, yes. I know.
Yeah. 2001, he closed up shop. And he, Myatt, met with Tonkin because he wanted to break into the L.A. music scene. He had a new L.A. company called OFC Incorporated, organized crime family.
Oh.
Yeah. So auditors, they later go in search of like the missing money from a family celebration 2001, the bogus Ally McBeal gala. They found out that hundreds of thousands of dollars passed through accounts controlled by Myatt, who identified himself as Tonkin's money manager.
Oh,
yeah.
That's always handy.
Convenient.
Yeah, it's like being a family advisor. Yeah. Covers so many things.
So many things. According to Peter Paul, Myatt, quote, controlled Tonkin and used him to infiltrate the music and entertainment communities for the FBI. So
curiouser and curiouser.
Myatt was also, he was a source of funds for a family celebration 2001, providing more than $100,000 in cash, much of which went to Sylvester Stallone and Ray Charles demanded before they would appear.
They did the James Brown pay me or I'm not showing up.
Yeah. Sandra Furton.
In cash.
Yeah. Sandra Furton Gabriel, that event producer, she said she saw Tonkin pull cash out of the pocket of his jeans and he gave 20 grand to Ray Charles. She said, quote, I was floored, but that was just how Aaron did things.
Also, if you, I mean, Ray Charles, if you grew up on the Chitlin circuit, you're going to be paid before your fingers hit those keys.
Exactly. Stallone's attorney said Stallone, like the 30 grand that he got, he had kind of earmarked it to pay for medical expenses of the relative of one of his housekeepers.
Oh. No,
okay, sure.
Okay.
And then the remaining 60 G's was supposed to be covering trips that Tonkin promised two members of David E. Kelley's production staff. So, according to an anonymous source.
Ooh, quote, I love those.
These are just one example of how celebrities took incredible advantage of Aaron. I mean, these were charitable events, and everyone from Gerald Ford to Sylvester Stallone had their hands out, taking money from charity.
Well, it does give you a sense of what their life is the rest of the time when they're not around him.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
He's not the only one they're doing this to.
And when it's not even supposed to be for charity, then it really knives out. So Tonkin, he's facing federal charges of fraud, one for mail fraud and the other for wire fraud.
Ooh.
According to the indictment, in September of 2000, Tonkin got $550,000 for an event to honor Diana Ross. And he promised three charities that they would receive all the proceeds, but the event never even took place. And so Tonkin took a plea deal. And on December 9th, 2003, he's 38 years old. He pleads guilty to the two federal charges. During a 35-minute appearance before Judge Dale Fisher in federal court, he admitted that he misrepresented himself and his purposes when he was, like, getting all these donors. When the judge asked, like, well, what was your intent? He just flatly replied, to defraud. Like, just, I'm just going to say it.
I'm just going to lay it out there.
And then Tonkin also caught state charges. He was accused of defrauding a bunch of like potential beneficiaries, including the Betty Ford Center, of at least $1.5 million. And for those charges, he was up against like maybe 10 years in prison, as well as $500,000 fine.
Wow.
And then on top of that, restitution for the victims.
Oh,
and
that's right. Yeah. He's got to pay all this back.
Oh, yeah. So all these charities. And of course, Tonkin wrote a book.
Well, you know, he's now a qualified author. He's got charges against him.
Yeah, exactly. 2004, his book King of Cons came out. And he wrote that he would use cash, luxury vacations, jewelry, political donations to lure celebrities to his fundraisers. And then that would then raise his profile. Quote, my bill at Cartier was $1 million. I was handing out Hawaii trips like someone would hand out their business cards to these celebrities and their hangers-on. I call it taking from the needy to feed the greedy.
Whoa.
Wow.
Wow. He just said it.
So in order to get Arnold Schwarzenegger at a charity event in September of 2002, and this is before he was governor.
How much does Arnold cost?
He said that Tonkin said he first had to make a contribution to a campaign that Arnold had for a state ballot proposition to promote after-school sports programs, which I vaguely remember. And that's when we all kind of knew, like, this guy is going to do it. State election records confirm that Tonkin gave a contribution of $62,500.
What?
Yeah, that's huge. An assistant U.S. attorney who specializes in major fraud cases, Joseph Zwicker, he said in court that Tonkin gave, quote, false promises to potential underwriters and that they or the charities that they represented would benefit, you know, that it's all this fake thing, sometimes as much as $400,000. And then Zwicker said that Tonkin and his associates who weren't identified would then divert some or all the money to themselves, like basically laying out what we've just seen. Zwicker would not identify Tonkin's associates, but he did say that they were being investigated. And so Tonkin, he starts getting these email threats. And two of them were supposedly sent by these associates under investigation. The government, looks into it, they're like, you faked these. You sent these to yourself. And so as a result, Tonkin was no longer seen as important to the government's investigation. And that means he's on his own. And so he's insisting that the threats were real, but the feds are over him. His deal evaporates. The prosecutors would not reduce his sentence. And they were also really pissed off about the book deal.
Oh, of course.
This is what Zwicker said, quote, if he sells his story for money, that would have an impact on his credibility with the jury. So like, we're not going to use you. You can't be like state's evidence. Alan Rubin, Tonkin's attorney, said Tonkin kept just a very, quote, a very small amount of the money raised from all the fundraising events. And he said that Tonkin's take amounted to, quote, less than 5%. Though he didn't do the math and say what the original number, like what's 5% of whatever.
$1 million is a very small amount compared to $1 billion. So exactly. It's all relative.
It's all relative. George Byrd, another lawyer of Tonkin's, he issued a statement saying that it was the politicians and the celebrities who, quote, benefited from Aaron's work. Unfortunately, the charities did not receive the funds that rightfully should have gone to them due to the greed of celebrities themselves. Which, you know, he's not wrong.
No, it's pretty
so
accurate.
Rubin said Tonkin didn't waste the money, do flashy things. At the time this all went down, Tonkin lived in a $900 a month apartment.
Really?
Yeah. And
that I did not expect.
Yeah. But then he also hired $3,000 a night escorts.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Wait, $3,000 a night escorts?
Yeah.
But $3,000 a night?
Yeah.
What? I mean, that's like Cirque du Soleil stuff. I mean, yes. That's incredible.
So Rubin described Tonkin, who would not speak to reporters, as, quote, extremely remorseful about his conduct in the case. And then he said he pled guilty because, quote, it was important for him to admit and accept responsibility. Aaron did something wrong, but he came in and faced the music and accepted his punishment. There were a lot more people involved in this than Aaron Tonkin. We just hope the government does not leave him as the only one. We're hopeful that things can work out in the future and that other people who've been involved criminally will get their punishment.
Hmm.
August 24th, 2004.
Yes.
Tonkin, he gets sentenced to 63 months in federal prison.
Okay.
For, you know, all the scams with the charities. He had to pay $3.8 million in restitution.
Oh, does he even have anything close to that?
I don't think so. He apologized in court and he said that he was excited for his life to, quote, move forward into a new chapter. September 22nd, 2004, he starts serving his sentence, federal facility in Kentucky, low security.
He's got like, what, 5 1/4 years to go? I mean, he's going to be out in a couple?
Oh, no, 2004 is when he went in, and he had 4 5 years. So he was out, 2010, he's out. Mm-hmm. And the LA Times runs this huge interview with him. And they proclaim him reformed and in search of redemption. And he was apparently trying to help his victims get their money back. He's like, let's work together to get the restitution because I don't have it, but I know who does. Huh. Vegas legend Wayne Newton is quoted in the article. Quote, I am on that short list of people who want to see him put his life back in order. I would work with him anytime, anywhere.
Why, Wayne? Why?
I don't know. But then on the other hand, we have Martin Gubb. Uh-huh. A businessman who gave Tonkin cash for a Celine Dion fundraiser that never happened.
Ah, from the Gubb report.
Yeah, quote, I hope he doesn't get his life back. What he did is beyond words.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We're going to have both sides.
It's unclear what became of Tonkin. Like, he doesn't have like a social media presence that I could find. He has like an old Twitter account he hasn't touched in ages.
Huh.
Part of his probation was that he was barred from fundraising or handling money for nonprofits.
Oh.
But he could act as a consultant.
Oh, well, come on.
Come on.
Then,
yeah.
All he said is he doesn't get to touch the money.
Yeah.
That's essentially what you did.
In 2010, he was also pitching a line of dietary supplements.
Oh, of course.
And then a year later, 2011, he was involved in some sort of thing, suing the insurance company for the old socialite ladies' life insurance.
Leona Helmsley?
Cynthia, no, the one he was, Cynthia.
Oh, Gershman.
Gershman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that.
I'm throwing in new celebrities.
Yeah,
sorry.
Exactly. I know. Well, I'm surprised.
She left her money to like a cat or a
she
dog
did.
Or something.
It was a dog, I think. It's amazing. Horrible. So anyway, yeah. So he was trying to get that. I don't know. He's just kind of dropped off. You can't find him anywhere. But yeah, wherever he is, I hope he's doing well and not scamming folks.
I hope he's reformed somewhat.
Yeah.
He feels better about himself.
What's your takeaway, Zarin, in the ridiculous type of takeaway?
Thanks for asking, Elizabeth. When I was down in Hollywood, I learned really quickly that I had an advantage over a lot of people, which is that I don't give a flying fig about a celebrity. All I see is a person with a big head. I'm like, oh, I mean, literally a physically big head.
Yeah.
Because the TV actors in particular have oversized heads. It's one of their secrets. But I could be in a room with no matter who, and I was like, I don't care. I mean, like, they're just a person. But most people are like this cat in one way or another.
Yeah.
They either want to leverage the celebrity. They want to be made to feel important, to be feel good. They want to reject the celebrity. Like, I don't care about them. I'm personally, I went either way. They're just a person to me. I didn't feel negative or positive about that. And so the people who wanted to pose and be like, oh, I don't want to be around them, were just as pretentious as the people who wanted to be around them. Right.
Yeah.
Everybody had to position themselves relative to the celebrity.
Yeah.
Because of that, all these celebrities always talk to me in social functions, because I was the only one not trying to talk to them or trying to ignore them. I was just like, can you hand me that napkin? And they'd be like, all of a sudden we start talking. So this guy is interesting to me in the sense that he reminds me of the benefit of not giving a care about a celebrity.
Yeah.
You're free.
Yeah.
Look, Jeannie, I'm free. What's yours, Elizabeth? What's your ridiculous takeaway?
Oh, that's really cool the way you asked me that.
Yeah,
that
you try nice. It out sometime.
I think it just backs up my suspicion of a lot of charities.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime you see like some big fundraiser gala,
never believe
it. I worry about the amount of money that went in to put that kind of thing on.
Yes.
And I always look for like more immediate ground level charities where you can see that the money goes right to action and not to.
Yeah.
And I'm just disgusted at these people asking for such amount of money, like to perform at a charity event. Like,
and Fords? I did not see Gerald Ford with the shakedown. He's like with the mob.
His palms greased.
These charities are like zoos. I don't think we really need them anymore.
No, I really don't think so. Hey, David, can I have a talk back? I've been good.
Talk back. Oh my God, did he just say that?
OMG.
Hey, Elizabeth. Hey, Zarin. Do you want to know what's ridiculous? Coming off of anesthesia and demanding to speak with you guys. I just had back surgery, and when I came off the anesthesia, I just kept saying all these different things about different episodes from Ridiculous Crime and how much I needed to see Elizabeth Dutton and Zarin Burnett because I needed to see them. Love you guys.
Oh, we love you.
I hope she's okay. I hope you're okay.
Yeah, we hope the back is
healing. Well, that's
mending.
No joke.
Yeah, not
back
at all. I've known
no
people
joke.
Got the back surgery and wow. lasts a long time.
And I'm
process.
Also, I really apologize that we're so deep in your subconscious like that.
But we're right.
That must be uncomfortable for you. But I am. I'm.
That's nice. That's
yeah,
real
that's
sweet.
Nice. That's all I have for today. You can find us online at ridiculouscrime.com. And you can find us all over the internet. Just keep looking. That's all. No. Okay, fine. We're at Ridiculous Crime on Twitter and Instagram, ridiculouscrime@gmail.com. Talk back, as you heard. You know, you come out of surgery, you leave us a talk back first thing. Reach out. Ridiculous Crime is hosted by Elizabeth Dutton and Zarin Burnett. Produced and edited by Red Button's right-hand man, Dave Kustin. Research is by Marissa Brown, who demands $400,000 per appearance and is worth every dime. An impossible-to-dupe socialite, Andrea Song Charpentier. The theme song is by house band for all Marianne Williamson fundraising galas, Thomas Lee and Travis Dutton. Host wardrobe is provided by Botany 500. Executive producers are Ally McBeal, showrunner Ben Bolin, and personal assistant to Mr. Wayne Newton, Noel Brown.
Ridiculous Crime.
Say it one more time.
Ridiculous Crime.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's a lot of pros to drinking health-aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health-Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.